Before I teach, Rachel, get those. We are getting ready for our annual budget. We are studying the kingdom. Last Sunday night, we gave you a lot of info, laying the foundation. Don't have the time to go back. Just very briefly, there is the kingdom of God, and then there's the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is spiritual. Eternal, comes not with observation, is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's spiritual. You enter it by a new birth. You got to be born again. And people are just as confused today about being born again as Nicodemus was. How can I be born again? Well, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit. He quickens. The word quicken means to make alive, because we're dead in trespasses and sins. That's the kingdom of God, and we enter it by a new birth. And you have to be in that kingdom in order to serve in the heavenly kingdom, or the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom under heaven. There was the Gentile kingdoms. We'll probably not look at them tonight, but we will go back and review them again, maybe next Sunday night. And God established nations right after the flood. But the people, and remember, not everybody that come out of the ark was a believer. But God preserved life just like he did in the animal kingdom. There was animals inside that ark that were unclean animals. But he preserved them to repopulate the earth. He did the same thing with man. Even though there were only 8 people in the ark, they were not believers. They went in not because they were saved spiritually, but because they were preserved physically to repopulate the earth. They come out of that ark and were a bunch of rebels. And they went down into the Mesopotamia Valley, southern day of Iraq, or the Chaldees. There built a tower into heaven. And the leader was Nimrod, the rebel. And they were going to build something to reach heaven. They didn't need God. Never again will we ever face this God. Nations began. Languages began. But there was no Gentile rule, because at the same time, right after chapter 11, when you have the nations begin, the very next chapter is Abraham. And that's the Israeli nation. And God was going to use that nation through Abraham to be the missionary to reach the entire world for God, the God of Abraham. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. The only problem is they didn't win. The Jewish nation did not win the Gentile nations. The Gentile nations corrupted the Jewish nation to where they lost their nation, they lost their flag, they lost their country, they lost their temple, they lost their city. They went into captivity, into bondage. And until June of 1948, they didn't even have a flag. And that was the Jewish kingdom. But during the time of chastising the Jewish kingdom, God began to raise up the Gentile kingdoms. And there were Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And the first was Babylon, modern-day Iraq. The second, Medo-Persian, Iran, modern-day Iran, Greece, and Rome. Those are the 4 world Gentile kingdoms that ruled this whole entire civilized world. Gentile, kingdom under heaven. So you had the Jewish, and the only time it was ever fulfilled was during the time of David, when David ruled over all. It's the only time. Solomon, his corruption. The Bible says, but look out when you're reading a good narration and then it says, but Solomon loved many strange women. He was a bit strange to have 1,000 wives. He should have went and got checked in somewhere for mental health problems. Now, and they took his heart away from Jehovah, and God rent the kingdom. Anyway, that began the downfall. And then through the kings of Israel, up and down, the northern kingdom, Jeroboam showed a little bit. He got rid of Baal, but he never got rid of the two idols he made, one in Dan and one down in the central part of the nation. Only Jeroboam, that's the only one. And he was not a favorite of God, or God was not in his best of interest. There were a few good kings in the southern, but by far, the Israeli kingdom was a total failure. It did not they reached more people in captivity than they did in freedom. They influenced more people in captivity than they did in freedom. Read about it, and we will, probably next week in Daniel. And then you got the Gentile stepping in to rule over the Jew. And pretty much the Jew is still dispersed and scattered, although many have went home, but there's still more Jews in New York City than there is in Israel. They're still scattered all over the world and still living under Gentile rule. It was the Gentiles that gave them the right to have a flag. It was the Gentiles that gave them a right to give them part of the land. It was the Gentiles that said you can do this and you can't do that. Still tonight. So you've had two kingdoms under heaven. And the Bible speaks about the kingdoms under heaven. The kingdom of heaven, which means under heaven, under the skies, here on this earth. It does come with observance. It is meat and drink. It is not righteousness. you couldn't find righteousness. And it certainly wasn't peace. And certainly many times there was no joy. In the Jewish kingdom as well as the Gentile kingdoms. They both have been absolute total failures. Both. Well, we read after Jesus comes back in Revelation 19, he finishes the Gentile rule of this earth and puts them down and begins to usher in a new era of time called the Millennial Kingdom. The Millennial Kingdom. We're going to see some characteristics of that tonight, but we're going to fast forward to the end of the book. We're going to fast forward to the end of the book and take a look at the end. And then we're going to start looking at some characteristics through it of the kingdom. So if you would turn with me tonight to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the resurrection chapter. So we've got a kingdom of God. It's spiritual and it's eternal. And you enter it by a new birth. That gives you the right then to enter the millennial kingdom to serve Christ during that period of time. Remember, we studied the crowns, the rewards. We studied all of those things involving what you do to have the right to serve in the millennial kingdom. You got to be born again, and you got to be faithful and serving during this day of what we call the church age in order to serve him in the millennial kingdom. The length of time is 1,000 years. 1,000 years. Now I want to read a passage tonight Probably one of the greatest passages that I love in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which I said is the chapter of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15. Paul dealing with those in the church that didn't believe in a resurrection. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. He said, you ever read your Bible? I'm paraphrasing this. Jesus said to the Sadducees, do you ever read your Bible? Do you ever read your Bible? Do you ever take time to just read your Bible and see what God said to Moses? I am not the God of the dead. I am the God of the living. I am the God of Abraham. Abraham's been dead for centuries. I am the God of Abraham. You ever read your Bible, Sadducees? I'm not the God of the dead. I'm the God of the living. If you didn't have a resurrection, what in the world would be worth the living? If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. The latter part of 15, verse 19. If this is it, what we've got now, I'm in my 73rd year of life on this earth, and I want to tell you, if there was no peace in the valley, no more suffering, no more pain, no more heart, if that day wasn't coming, that era of time wasn't coming, what in the world would we live on this earth for? And he says, as a conclusion, we are of all men most miserable. If this life is it, if this life is all we have, people that don't believe in the resurrection. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen, and we'll be celebrating that in April. From the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, that's Adam, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man his own order. Christ orders no one. Christ forces no one. It's a free choice. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Verse 24. Notice the last four words of verse 23. Christ at his coming. Verse 24, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. That's what the Father has been waiting on ever since he created Adam. Remember what I read last week in his prayer that he taught his disciples? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy here as in there. And that's what the Father's been waiting for over 6,000 years. And the Son will deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, but when he shall have put down all rule, all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. He said in two or three different places, heaven's my throne, the earth is my footstool. Look at these people today going after this earth. And all of this climate change and all of this worship of the earth and atmosphere and all of this stuff that so many people are going after, it's all preparation for what's coming. For what's coming. God says, what you worship, that's where I place my feet to rest. Don't we have a wonderful God that just knows how to say it right? Huh? Don't we have a wonderful God that knows how to just say it right? What you think is so great is where I rest my feet. Hallelujah for the Lord. He must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And then there's the last enemy in verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Hallelujah. There will be peace in the valley. Thank God today we have the peace in our heart. It's nothing your flesh ever produced. Your flesh will not produce that peace. The Spirit of God, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's not a fruit of the flesh. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And it's that wonderful peace. Oh, what a glorious day we've got coming. What a glorious future we have. You got to be born again. That's a spiritual birth to enter into the kingdom of God. Then as you enter into the kingdom of God, which is spiritual and eternal, that gives you the right to enter into this kingdom, the millennial kingdom, where God will rule a theocracy. It's called a theocracy. Where God rules the earth. God rules through man. Up until the time of Samuel, from Moses to Samuel, it was the rule of theocracy. It was a theocracy rule. Moses got his instructions straight from God. Joshua got his instructions straight from God. That's called a theocracy. God ruling in the affairs of man, through man. A theocracy. Same way with the judges. And on down to the time of Samuel, the nation of Israel came to Samuel and said, "You're old. We want to be like all the other nations. Give us a king. We want to be like all the other nations. We want a king. We want to be like all the other nations." Broke the heart of Samuel. Broke his heart. God came and told him, said, "It's okay, Samuel. They haven't rejected you. They've rejected me." And Samuel told him, "You rejected when God was your king. God's been your king. Ever since Moses, ever since the time of deliverance, God has been your king. He has ruled. But you have rejected your God and you want a king." And it's very evident that Saul did not take his directions from God. Because Samuel told him, "Do this and do that." And Saul said, "I'll do it my way." Samuel said, "Saul, you stay out of the priest's office. It's not for you to be in there." Saul did it anyway. David was not perfect. Solomon was far from perfect. Rehoboam was worse than far from perfect. A few, Hezekiah, Josiah, Uzziah. There was a few in the southern kingdom who listened to God during the time of their reign. But there were very few. The theocracy by Israel was absolutely, totally rejected. This day, during the millennial kingdom, there will be a theocracy. And he will rule the earth through us, his bride, his wife, who are called the armies of heaven. You study your Bible and you read through, you just see how much angelic activity there is in the program of God and the affairs of man. How often you find angelic beings appearing and disappearing here and there. They're serving God. They're fulfilling his will. We're going to be like that. We're going to be like the angels. We're not going to be constrained. We're going to be in our glorified bodies, and there's going to be no constraint, and we are going to serve him in a theocracy government. It's a theocracy where God will rule. Then comes the end. And finally, God will have his kingdom on earth. And his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, you and I are supposed to be praying for that to come. Before we ever pray for our bread, we're supposed to pray for our kingdom. Yeah. He taught, before you ever ask for your bread, ask for your kingdom. That means pray for spiritual needs above physical needs. God already knows what you need physically before you ever ask. He taught in Matthew chapter 6. Now, let's go to the wonderful city tonight. That is it. The talk, a lot of today's news cycles. Ezekiel. And we're just going to give you some characteristics. Characteristics. And we're going to turn to several different passages, so get prepared for that. Ezekiel, the very last chapter. Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 35. He's describing the city of Jerusalem and the gates. It was round about 18,000 measures. A name of the city from that day shall be, "The Lord is there." The name of Jerusalem is going to be changed during the millennial kingdom. And all the world is going to know the name of the city. That's where the Lord is. That's where the Creator is. That's where the Savior is. That's where God Almighty is. Jerusalem. The name of that city will be called "The Lord is there." Now do you understand why the devil is so after the Jew? You understand why he's after that little piece of land? One of these brilliant lawyers that's a Christian, claims to be a Christian, showed them the world map. Showed it, not a globe, but those that believe in a flat surface. Flat earth. The map was flat. And he showed that we little, compared to all of the land mass of the earth, showed that we little tiny piece of land tucked in there by the Mediterranean Sea. And he said, that's what they're all fighting over. That's what they're fighting. Look, he said, look at all of this mass of land. Look at all of what is available. It's uninhabited. That could be inhabited. Look what they want. That little piece of land. You understand now why? The devil is doing everything he can to try to disrupt whatever he can, to destruct whatever he can to stop what's coming. He can't do it. His mistakes. Listen, God takes his mistakes and stupidity and turns them into something wonderful and great. Only God can do that. The Lord is there. There it is. Now, how does he get there? And I'm running out of time. Ezekiel, to understand Ezekiel, The last eight chapters have to do with the millennial kingdom. And it's strange to read it. The temple will be, there will be a millennial temple. It won't be the trib temple. It'll be the millennial temple. It will be built. The priesthood will be revived. The sacrifices, the feast days, the whole entire ceremonial law that God gave Moses will function day after day. Day after day, every day, the Jews will function the ceremonial law. There'll be animals sacrificed and bloodshed during this time for 1,000 years. We mentioned it last Sunday night. So those eight chapters, the last eight chapters of Ezekiel, are ceremonial. The central figure or subject is the ceremonial law. It talks about the building of it and the structure of it and the size of it and the priesthood and the feast days. Remember coming out of the tribulation. Remember, coming out of the tribulation will not only be the nation of Israel, which will be hiding down in Petra during the times of great destruction and death. And God's going to protect them and hide them. And that's where they'll be. But coming out of the trib will be those that endure and survive it. Somehow. They're not believers. They're repopulators. This makes the third time now God's going to repopulate the earth. Fill the earth. And so there's going to be a populated earth that's going to be in bodies just like yours and mine. We're not going to have these old bodies. Thank God. We're going to have our glorified body. We're going to be like the angels. We're going to be like Christ. And we with Christ in Israel, in Jerusalem, in the city it's called the Lord is there, will rule with him and reign with him 1,000 years. That is in Revelation chapter 1. We will rule and reign with him. And coming out of that tribulation period is people that will repopulate the earth physically. They'll be physical. And believe it or not, and we'll see it next Sunday night, there's going to be people that absolutely rebel against the theocracy in Jerusalem. They won't go up. They won't obey the judgment. And I'll just throw this out. The judgment of the nations that say we're not coming up, God says you'll get no rain. Now I'll tell you, going 2 or 3 months without rain last summer was pretty dry. I asked Elijah how dry it got 3.5 years. But can you imagine having no rain for 1,000 years? And that's going to be the judgment during that time. When people that come out of the trib repopulate the earth, the millennial kingdom is established, the theocracy rule is in place, we're here as his armies, we're going to rule with him, we're going to be mayors of city and governors of states and presidents and kings of countries, we're going to rule this world with the theocracy of God in Jerusalem over the repopulated earth. And believe it or not, there are going to be people who absolutely refuse to fall in and follow King Jesus. The Lord is there. They won't say tonight from the city of Jerusalem. They'll have to say on the airwaves tonight from the city of the Lord is there. Boy, there are some of those anchor chair people that have a hard time saying anything positive. Have a hard time. Would you turn with me back to Ezekiel 44? Ezekiel chapter 44. We've seen the end. The kingdom will be handed up, delivered up to the Father. That's the ultimate goal. We've seen the city that's under such great attack, called the Lord is there. Ezekiel chapter 44, some of his touring, Ezekiel gets tour of the future. Then he brought me back by the way of the gate of the outward sanctuary, which looketh toward the east, and it was shut. The Lord said unto me, this gate shall be shut, it shall not be opened, and no man shall enter in by it, because the Lord God of Israel hath entered in by it, therefore it shall be shut. It is for the prince, he shall sit in it to eat bread before the Lord. He shall enter by the way of the porch of the gate, and shall go out by the way of the same. The eastern gate, we have songs we sing about the eastern gate. The eastern gate. He's coming from the east. According to Zechariah, and we don't have time to turn there tonight, his feet will come down and touch the Mount of Olives, exactly where he ascended from. And we'll look at the scriptures next Sunday night. But he'll come back and his feet will touch the Mount of Olives, and they'll cleave. And there'll be a waterway that'll go through there. And he will then, after coming, make his way over to the eastern gate, where he will enter in through it and go into the city of Jerusalem. And then from there on, it will be called, the Lord is there. Can you imagine some of these liberal anchor chair people having to say that? I can't wait to hear it. I was in Israel in 1981. They had just had the 67 war. They'd had the war in 73 where they took out back more land. There was bus bombings. It was dangerous. Terrorism just didn't start in the last 5 years. They were blowing buses up back in the 70s, 60s. And we went into the Temple Mount, where sits the second holiest mosque of the Muslims, right on the Temple Mount where the Temple of God once sat. There is the second Mecca, the most holy, the mosque where they say Muhammad resurrected and went up, sits on the Temple Mount. There are soldiers everywhere. There's Israeli soldiers where they're permitted to be. There's Arabic soldiers where they're permitted to be. And they can't cross. It's like the zone in the North and the South Korea. It's a no man. You can't get in there. And we went over to the edge as far as we could get. And I went to take a step, and there was an Israeli soldier, and he went, and I went. I wanted to get a better view of that gate. Preacher Goddard was telling us about it the day before. That gate is shut. The only gate in all the old Jerusalem, the old wall, every gate is open. Except one. And it is the eastern gate that looks right directly to the Mount of Olives, where he will come down. And he will go through. And he will sit down upon his throne in the city of Jerusalem. And that city will be called, the Lord is there. He'll break the eastern skies. He'll come to the Mount of Olives. And down he will come. And over in he will come. And no one can enter into that gate. That gate, God told Ezekiel, that gate will be shut until the prince enters into it. And that gate tonight is not only shut, it is guarded. In the 1600, I don't know the exact year, the Turks, for the umpteenth time in history, the Turks rebuilt the wall of the old city of Jerusalem. And they didn't know why, but for some reason they closed that eastern gate. Read the history. And they blocked it up, cemented it over. You can't get through it. You can't get within 100 yards of it. They shoot you. I want to tell you, when God says something, he means it. And that gate, go home on the internet tonight and look up the eastern gate. See if it's open. God said it'll be shut. That gate's for one person and one person only. And that is for the prince. So he'll come from the east, touch the Mount of Olives. They'll cleave. That's given in Zechariah. Then he'll make his way over to the eastern gate. It'll open. He'll go into the city and sit down and begin his theocratic rule. And won't it be wonderful? We will be serving with him. Serving with him. And he'll be giving us instructions. And we'll be reporting back and forth to him as we govern this world for 1,000 years. If in this life we only have hope, you can go home tonight miserable. If in this life we only have hope, then we can all go home tonight miserable. But thank God there's a future for the child of God. Amen. Now the animal kingdom that Randy read about, sang about tonight, there's several things I didn't get covered tonight. The earth curse is going to be lifted. And with the earth curse lifted, nature's going to change. Sorry, Al. No more billions. Sorry, Al. And the animal kingdom is going to change. Everything's going to revert back to the way it was when God first created it. The animal kingdom is going to change. That's given in Isaiah chapter 11. We'll read it next week. Zechariah, we'll read about it in other passages. We're going to look at the characteristics of this 1,000 year. The earth curse is gone. The desert will blossom and bloom the rose. The curse gone. Satan, gone. No evil. And yet man will refuse to follow the person in the city that rules this world. And we'll see the climax of that in a couple weeks. Where God proves to man, you're a loser. You're a loser. Without me, you're nothing but a piece of dirt. Now I'm going to do something, and I hate to do this from the pulpit, but Dan, was you able to talk to the mayor? At home miserable. We've got hope, friends. We've got hope. We've got a future. What a great future it will be. We can get so bogged down in this life that we lose sight of what's coming. And what a great future we have. Not only in this 1,000 year, but through then eternity. He delivers up the kingdom. That doesn't end the kingdom. He delivers up the kingdom. We have an eternity with our great God. Wow. All right. Thank you for being out tonight. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we've had to be in thy house. Thank you, Lord, that you've been faithful to speak to us through the Sunday school hour this morning, through the morning service, through the service tonight. Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings and goodness to us. We pray, Lord, you might take what we've heard today and help us to apply it to our lives. We're not perfect. We fall, we falter, we fail. You forgive, you cleanse, you wash us. Thank you for the precious blood that keeps us clean. Give us a good week in the things of thee. May we be mindful of thee throughout this week, that you are our Father, we are your child. Be with Helen tonight, help her through this difficult time. Be with Debbie Knighty and Wanda, and be with our friend Bill, who fell and got problems. Lord, the list just goes on and on, unending. People with needs. We lay them at the throne of grace. Send help in the time of these needs. Only you can fulfill them, and we commit that unto thee. And now, Lord, dismiss us with thy blessings upon us. Thank you for all your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.